In the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to rapidly try to finish up this chapter. Ephesians chapter 5. Now, chapter 5 is all about living a different kind of life. We know that Christian life is a peculiar way of living, isn't it? You know, if you weren't saved, what would you be doing right now? Watching telly, sitting at a bar, recovering from a hangover, maybe in a hospital. Amen? We do live differently, don't we? Amen? We deal with problems differently. There are things that we look forward to the world doesn't have any concept of. Amen? So, there's something that marks a Christian, however. We don't just live different to be different. There is a way to live that's called holy. Now, going through this thing, we come to one of the hardest concepts for the modern age. And verse 21 says this, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We don't submit ourselves one to another in the fear of man, do we? There are plenty of people all over this world who are in submission to a dictator, or in submission to a boss, or in submission to an owner, or in submission to a husband, sometimes to a wife, because of fear of that person. Amen? But we submit out of fear to the Lord. So, when we're walking in our families, in our homes, we walk not defiantly, but submissively. So, the Bible has some of the clearest language about marriage and about the home. The language is so strong and so unmistakable that people just decide, I won't even read the Bible. They reject this Bible, not because it's confusing, but because it's too clear. That's it. People are dying and going to hell, and they'd rather have a new Bible, new translation, in order to get rid of hell, in order to get rid of these words that are very strong and very clear. Doing it in fear of going against God. That's our motivation. Why do you submit? Why do you go along with a boss even when he has a dumb idea? Because the Lord tells you, do what the boss says. He's the boss. You may have a better idea, but if he's the owner, it's his decision, amen? So even if it's a dumb idea, kids, not here, but should follow mom and dad even if it is a dumb idea. Why? Because 99 times out of 100, they're older than you and wiser than you. Usually always older than you. But we do it, we submit, and we do what our authority asks us to do out of fear, going against God. Thirdly, to submit is to allow the other person to lead. Let them make decisions. Your job in all kinds of situations is to follow, to yield, to obey. God teaches us how to submit by dealing with three groups of people here in this chapter and the beginning of the next one. Wives and husbands, he shows us submission there. He shows us submission in children and parents. And he shows us submission in servants and masters. What is the one thing that most parents have the hardest time teaching their children? To obey. Discipline. But it's the most important thing you can teach. I read one time down there in Pensacola, Florida, there was a man who went into a shopping mall and he took out a gun and he started shooting people. And you could hear the gun firing, and the dad who had been in the military heard the first shot. He looked at his sons over there and he said, "Damn!" And they didn't go, what are you saying, man? I want to see what's going on. Like without a heartbeat, when dad commanded, get down, they hit the ground. Because within a second or two, bullets started flying right over their head. He knew exactly what to do. There was no debate. There was no argument with dad. And there needs to be a time when the parent has authority, because we're not just trying to abuse our kids and force our way on them. Usually, we're trying to protect them. Amen? And they need, here goes little Johnny, and he goes, he's looking at mommy and daddy, and he's going right out in the street. Amen? And daddy goes, Johnny, come back here. Johnny, and the mom is going, Johnny, come back. You know what you need to do? You need to go, Johnny! And Johnny, stop. Get back here now. Amen? That is vital, amen? But boy, we mock anybody that has that amount of authority, don't we? He must be mean. No, he's concerned. Amen? So, and then we're going to learn about servants and masters. So, let's get into this thing. And first thing, let's deal with the wife. The first one the Lord deals with is the wife. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And that is a very strange but strong phrase, because a lot of women would gladly submit to another woman's husband. It's hard to submit to the guy at home. The Bible says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto who? Now, man, that's a hard concept. And I understand it. Because for me to treat my boss like he's Jesus, I understand how a wife looks at her husband and says, he is anything but Jesus. And yet you do it. You don't do it because he deserves it. Because he's worthy of it. It's because the Lord tells you. Amen? So, submit yourselves. Four. We get down here. Let me just talk about submission here for a second. The Bible doesn't say the husband ought to be the head of the wife. It simply says he is. Look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church... I'm sorry, verse 23. For the husband should be the head of the wife. Is that what it says? Ah. You know, your Bible, every word of God is pure. So it does not say the husband ought to be the head of the wife. It says, I don't care whether you like it or not. I don't care whether you agree with it or not. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Hey, is there any area in which Christ is not the head of this church? Is there any area where we can say, well, I don't want to do that. I know the Lord tells me I need to go soul winning, but I don't want to. Is there any area where the Lord is not in charge? None. So the Bible says, just as Christ is head of the church, who's head of the home? Now we know there are exceptions to the rule. We know husband leaves, mom has to take over. But that exception shouldn't become the norm. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, he's the Savior of the body. Secondly, the husband represents the headship of Christ over the church. Now there's a great picture here. Run down there just for a curious. Look at verse 32. This, what he's speaking about, is a great what? Mystery. Now Catholic Church loves to talk about mysteries, but they won't talk about this one. Look at this. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. When he's speaking of Christ and the church, what is he using to teach about Christ and the church? Husband and wife. Amen. Amen. Not a celibate priest. He's using a home. So, this thing of a church and the authority of Christ in that church is pictured by a home. And when homes are falling apart, guess what the world thinks about the church? Christ is a failure. So, third, wives in turn are to picture and symbolize the church's response to Christ. The picture is, the husband is a picture, a symbol of who? Of Jesus Christ. And his authority over the church. Is he a dictator? When was the last time God struck you with lightning because you deserved it? He's not a dictator. He doesn't hammer you like he should. Alright? What does the woman represent? The Christians. This group of people called the church. And they symbolize the church's response to Christ. How do we normally respond to Christ? Just like most women respond to their husbands. You ain't telling me what to do. Who do you think you are? No wonder the world doesn't see Christianity. No wonder the world doesn't know who Christ really is. True submission is this. It is complete submission. That's what submission is. It's complete. If I submit but only a small amount, is that truly submission? Not at all. If I ask Joshua, Joshua, take the trash out. Take the rubbish out. And he goes over there and he moves it 3 feet. Incomplete. Amen? You know, I really believe it ought to be this. Well, let me just go on. It needs to be complete. True submission is you do what the authority says to do. even when you disagree. You know, we'll talk about that another time. It needs to be true submission. I'm not just talking about blanket robotic submission. We're talking about a home submission. Does a woman come in, "You have ordered me to get your food. Here it is. Enjoy it. It may be your last." True submission is from the heart. If you're really submitted, hey, a Christian, so many Christians come to church, and now you know why some of them fall out. Because they come because they have to. But a real Christian comes to church because there is a heart in it. There is a desire. There's a passion. I can't wait to be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I wish it was every night. That's a Christian's heart. So true submission has to be from the heart. If you can't submit, what's the first thing you need to check? Your heart. Third thing, it needs to be voluntary. True submission is voluntary. Christians are not subject to Christ because we're forced, kicking and screaming against our will. We are subject to Christ because of the wonderful grace of Jesus, the immeasurable mercy that He has. A wife doesn't submit only because she must, but because she willingly does so. It also means a husband cannot stand before his wife and demand submission. "Woman, you submit." Now he wants to. But you know, the Lord doesn't stand up in heaven saying, "Submit!" Does He? You know, He puts up a lot of rebellion in us, doesn't He? I wonder how much rebellion we put up with at home. Guilty. You know, a lot of men, I learned this from Brother Buddy, who said it last year at men's retreat. He says, "You know what us men do? We get in an argument, and we know we're right. We are right. But we end up alone." Amen? And he said, "It ain't worth it." I said, "That is profound." Amen? You know, losing your family is a horrible price just to be correct, just to be right. Amen? Let the husband submit himself to God's hand and love his wife as Christ loved the church, and you'll go far. Amen? Now, a woman, she's being asked to voluntarily... You know what a woman's being asked to do when she gets married? She's asked to lose her home. She leaves home. She's being asked to change her name. She's been asked now to follow you. That's a high price. Now, it is a lot of work to maintain respect so that she keeps wanting to follow. Now the verse here, the chapter, the challenge here in Ephesians 5 is, go ahead and do it. Do it for the Lord. The Lord will give you grace, and the Lord will kill your husband if he won't get right. But it's true, she's got to do it voluntarily. That's what the Lord's wanting. Out of love. Now, obviously, every man wants his wife to love him. You'll do this out of love, won't you? Uh-huh. But who is she really trying to love when she's submitting to that rascal, Jesus, the Lord Jesus? You know, there's a great verse in Psalm 40, verse 8. It says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." That's David. He says, "I can't wait to do whatever you want me to do." Amen. And he does it because David had a heart for God. Amen. One great thing I read this. Submission is both tender and wise. I don't know if you've ever heard of this preacher. His name was Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says, "I sometimes think that one of the most wonderful things I've ever been privileged to witness was the following event. It was my custom for a number of years to go and preach in a certain church, and after preaching, to spend that night in the house of the minister and his wife. It was always most interesting for this one reason, that it was so obvious to me on even the first visit that from the standpoint of sheer ability, there was no comparison between the husband and the wife. The wife was exceptionally brilliant. The husband, oh, he was not without his gifts. This is the pastor. But his main gifts were just in his personality. He was exceptionally nice and friendly and kind and gracious. But as far as intellectual ability,
there was no comparison.
They both were graduates, but the wife had a degree that few women took up and could succeed in at that particular time. She had taken first class honors. The husband only had a second class. There was no question, I say, as to the ability of this woman. Her grasp of intellectual matters, her understanding, always struck me immensely. And it became more and more evident as I got to know both of them. But what I wish to say is that I do not know that I have ever seen anything more wonderful than the way in which that woman always put her husband into his true scriptural position. She did it in a very clever and a subtle way. She would put arguments into his mouth, but she always did it in such a way as to suggest that they were his and not hers. There is an amusing aspect to this matter, but I am reporting it as one of the most moving and tremendous things I have ever experienced. She was not only an able woman, she was also a Christian woman. And she was putting into operation the principle that the husband is the head. He always had to state the decision as though she had supplied him with the reason. She was acting as a help meet for him. She had the qualities that he lacked. She was complimenting to him. She was supplementing to him. But the husband was the head and the children were always referred to him. And she protected his position. He said that was a home. You know, God's word is not outdated. The culture of the day does not overrule Bible teaching. I believe our culture proves the Bible. If they're falling apart at such a high rate, if they're disintegrating like they are, I think we need to get back to the Bible. I don't think the Bible should be the fear of everybody. It ought to be the thrill that, hey, let's get back to the Bible and let's see if our homes can survive. Now, most people put the idea of authority and the rule of another with fear. They talk about people abusing, and yeah, I know of abuse, but those things are exceptions to the rule. They do not override the Bible. The safest thing to do is what God tells you to do. Amen? You have an abusive, physically abusive husband? Call me. Call me. Amen? The Bible says, bring that man to the judge. He has no right to ever physically abuse. But when it comes to authority, we have the clearest verses in the Bible. Gentlemen, we take too much advantage of that. I have a lot to say, but let me just... That's submission. Let me talk about the husband's love now. Verse 25. Still back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We've now switched to the other side. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It continues on, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. By what? How does God wash you and keep you clean? Yes, we have the blood of Jesus Christ which cleanses us from all sin. But how do I feel clean? How do I get just where my conscience is clean, where I just feel clean? Letting the word wash over like a shower, like a bath. The washing of water, not by baptism, it's by the word, amen? That he might, again it's a comma, it's not the end there, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife, he loveth himself. Let me talk about the husband's love. First of all, it is absolutely extreme love. This is a present tense, ongoing action. It is not an act. It is not a phrase. It is a life of love that is being called for. It is not psycho love. I'm going to use a new phrase here. It's not animalistic. You know, that's the level that all movies and music and books are driving men down to. You look at the kids, and you look at how they dress, you look at how they look. The world has taught them to be nothing more than brutes. Amen. and is driving men into sex machines that have no concept of any other kind of love than a psycho kind of love. All of the movies, when they portray men, they portray them as dangerous, as abusive, as forcing. It's wrong. No wonder the kids don't know what to do. You know, I've noticed this. The only time that you find softness in a man is when they're homosexual, and it makes me sick. Because that's not the only time to be soft. Extreme love. It's more than natural love. And let me say this. Did you know I'm speaking from experience. It is really very easy for men to love. Men are wired to love. A woman says, my husband doesn't love. Wrong. Put him in front of a 72-inch plasma TV screen. He'll be in love. Even when it's off. Amen? You get him watching football. He knows how to love. Amen? We are wired to love. Men know how to love. There is a natural kind of love. Men love money. They love success. And I believe that men love their wives. I believe that. You cannot tell me,
men don't know how to love their wives.
Wrong. They don't know how to love them extremely. But they do know how to love them. And there's a wicked, wicked mentality among the feminists and among the modern female mind, and that is, men don't know how to love. You know what they want? They want an effeminate kind of love. And men don't love like women. Amen. And a woman needs to thank God, I'm glad I got a man. Amen. And she needs to know just how to help him, how to develop that love so that he has that same kind of energy that's for that stupid football game, that he has that kind of energy for her. Because it's possible. Men know how to love. You know what Christianity does? Christianity teaches a man who knows how to love. They raise the bar. They raise the expectation. Christianity raises the expectation of us men so that we do know how to love. Extreme. Too many marriages break up not because the man stops loving, but it's because the woman stops loving. It's not because men just decide, I don't want to love this relationship. I know it happens. But in the general things, something happens and gets the woman upset and she switches off. And that's how come many, I don't know if it's most, I couldn't find all the statistics. Sometimes the statistics, you don't know if you can even believe them. But there's too many times where somebody switches off. You know what my rule is? According to that Bible, neither one of you should switch off. There ought to be never a time where you say, I'm just not going to love this. You better, if you're saved, you better just settle. I can't stop loving this person. I may lessen my love for a little while. But most marriages fall apart because one of them, and unfortunately in the modern day, it's the woman who stops loving and switching off and shoving out. I just found this. Men know how to love. The wife just needs more than we're giving. Amen? Did you understand what I said? We are loving. I don't think there's a man in here who's married. And those of you who want to be married, there's not a man in this room who doesn't know how to love. We just don't know how to love extremely. When I say extreme, like Christ loved you, that's an extreme love. Do you understand? It is an excessively awesome kind of love. A sacrificial kind of love. That is extreme love. Goes on to verse 26, he says this, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. He's talking about us. Not a building, but people. That he might present to himself this glorious people. None of them having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. So I call this, the husband's love is an extreme kind of love. A sanctifying kind of love. Which means it's a cleansing kind of love. You know, this is what Christ does in us as he loves us. Christ doesn't come along and just throw a lot of dirt. Can you imagine if the Lord gave the account into your heart and just started bringing up all of your past? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what it'd be like if by you waking up, get ready for church, the Lord were to start saying, oh yeah, remember this, and once you remember that, then boy, remember you fail there. You know, if that comes up in your mind, that is not God. That's the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. He keeps records. My Bible says
He cannot remember my sins anymore. Amen?
Now, for a man. Now, again, the Bible is not dealing with a woman. I wish it would. Because women also have good record keeping. Amen? But can you imagine a man constantly reminding his wife of her failures? It's not on. A man's supposed to cleanse his wife, and when she does feel down, pick her up. Never throw muck around. You know, there are arguments, and then there are arguments. And she starts throwing some muck at you, and you pick up some, you get some yourself. That's not a husband, is it? Not at all. Cleansing. Jesus Christ takes a dirty, rotten, filthy, wicked, rebellious sinner like you and me, and He cleans us up, doesn't He? I don't care how stubborn your wife is, or your future girlfriend, or whatever. Don't defile her. Don't smudge it all around. Cleanse her. That's the job of a husband. A wife should be safe in her home. Amen? Safe from verbal, emotional abuse. She ought to be safe in her home. A Christian man should be living the Bible, quoting the Bible around that house for her, cleansing and encouraging her. That is a Christian man. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Hold your place here. Go to Proverbs 18. In verse 21. A good book of Proverbs. Amen. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Bible says that there's power in proper words. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says this: death and life are in the power of... You know, you don't have to hit a woman to hurt a woman. Power of life and death are in the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you love that power of giving life to that somebody, if you love giving encouragement. Hey, you know this verse is general enough to say this. If you tear apart your wife, you're going to reap the fruit of that destruction. Amen? But if you build her up, you'll reap. And you'll never regret it. Amen? That's why the Bible gives us the illustration of the Lord. When He deals with me, yeah, He has to chasten me. Yeah, He speaks the truth to me. But He speaks the truth in... love. Amen? Amen? You not only is cleansing, this kind of love is a protecting kind of love. You know, it did catch Liz's eye when Joel stood up and protected her against a bunch of other goons. I wonder if a wife knows that her husband will stand up like a knight in shining armor and take the blow, give his life for her. Did not our Lord do that for us when we were undeserving?